So let's first, I'm calling the meeting to order. Our pledge now will be, well, let me do the inspiration. All right, so Jim Levy is excused, he could not be here. Unfortunately, he's a victim of the access strike. He can't drive and he couldn't get access to get here. So he was willing, he just couldn't get it. That's a whole other story. We talked about later in months. I will do the invocation because I can see my favorite invocation. It's called You Are Not For Everyone. The world is filled with people who, no matter what you do, will point blank, I like you. But it's also filled with those who love you fiercely. They are your people. You're not for everyone, and that's okay. Talk to the people who can hear you. Don't waste your precious time and gifts trying to convince them of your value. They will never want what you're selling. Don't convince them to walk alongside you. You'll be wasting both your time and theirs, and will likely inflict both unnecessary wounds, which will take fresh time. You are not for them, and they are not for you. Politely wave them on. Continue along your way, sharing your path with someone who is sacred. Sharing your path with someone is a sacred gift. Don't cheapen this gift by rolling yours in the wrong direction. Keep facing your true north. All right. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance now. Carol Warren. Oh, not here. All right, well, I can do that.
Well,
let's have a crystal chew then.
Thank you. Please rise if we're able to do the
place of
your hands over your heart. Ready
to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, colleagues, for your beginnings. Thank you, Crystal. All right. Our esteemed interim secretary, Dave Pitbull, will now take role.
All right. I've got Linda Barcelona. Denise Barnes. Lavelle Brewer.
Here.
Elizabeth Dissick.
Present.
Amelia Castro.
Lynn Barton Walt in.
Louise Breton.
Okay. Jerry Chang.
Present.
Colette Jenkinski.
Here.
Meredith Cholini.
Here.
Elaine Genway. Dean Hernandez.
Present.
Ken Hickman.
Present.
Victor Jimenez.
Here.
Crystal Miles.
Present.
Patty Buchanan.
Present. Here.
Janelle Oldeschum. Rachel Owens.
Here.
John Pointer.
Here.
Tony Odella.
Hoorah.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. Amelia Sinmati. Barbara Sloan.
Present.
Benny Stan.
Present.
David Sullivan. Dave Tetzwell. And then Dave Weaver.
Here.
President, we have a quorum.
we have a new member as well, Marianne Klinger. She's right there.
Marianne,
was appointed.
Thank you for joining us, Marianne. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. Dave, any comments other than to say make sure you get your monthly service hours turned in? The forms are over here. You can fill out right now and turn it in to Dave. It makes it so much easier. I got to put 8 on there. All right, let's move down to public comments. We have a public present. I don't see.
We don't have public comments.
No public comment. Okay, introductions. Well, besides those, hearing from our newest member joining us, would you like to bring just have a little bit of a question just who you are and what your interest in the junior? You're kind of a candidate running for office. Okay. Really much
better. I'm Mary Singer. I'm here from Seal Beach, Leisure World. It's District 1 in the county. And I'm kind of excited she's here. And I've been senior because I am one. I live in Leisure World, which is 9,000 in the world. And I felt like I could serve them, my CMH community, and I just did my community well by being here.
Excellent. You know my good friend, Noel Hatch? Not in council there.
Oh, in council.
Yes, not in council.
Yeah, I served on the planning commission until recently. CMH planning commission for 7 years, and I actually worked in the community and Lady World for 10 years. And so I know kind of what seniors are doing and what they're needing. And, you know, we are really constantly fighting that, you know, so the police come up and they always come to it. No, you got to put people where you are. You have attention to what we do because we're used to dealing with other people. So wherever and
yeah,
everywhere.
I'm well aware of that community. Yeah. Noel Hatch is a very prominent spokesperson for you guys. He's a retired attorney, he says I'm going to get a big one. He's illicit about these are world constantly.
Well, you know,
it's the end all items.
Yeah, we're pretty big there. We're actually a third of the city, and it's a really big concentration. All you have to do is say Leisure World, or say Snicker, but at the same time, they know
the big each way.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we didn't get a chance to really delve a little bit into Victor Mendez. You want to share a little bit about his background and what brings him here. So, Victor.
Oh, sure. I'm a resident of Santa Ana. I've been in Santa Ana for about 7 years, but I've been down here in Orange County, I guess, for 28 years. Kim Patrick was born and raised in the DLA area. Where I live right now is a senior citizen apartment complex with about 500 other residents. So, you know, the issue of housing and rental affordability is very near and dear to our heart, and with my seniors as well as myself. I'm effectively retired, but I work about 6 days a week, a month, maybe, as a substitute teacher. I just kind of started that up in a couple of districts, and I'm actually really enjoying that. I had to do the kindergarten class today, a few weeks ago, and I survived it pretty well. I think the kids gave me more energy than I gave them. I really enjoyed it. They were a lot of fun. Trying to be people who have a kind of a filtered view of the world without any nuance, just throwing it as it is.
I think we'll follow up with one,
yeah. You can't find it anywhere. Yeah, they were a good group of kids, and they were very, very, for the most part, pretty well behaved, pretty amenable to my directions and everything. I do that, and it worked out pretty well. My interest in seniors is really, with all due respect to the office of aging, sometimes people are kind of an afterthought. Particularly at election time and also the area of jobs. And I want to do what I can to take that and make it the forefront.
Thank you, Victor. Very nice. Thank you for joining and being here with us. I love your passion and I expect to be involved. All right. Do we have, is Carrie Keene?
Yes, he's right there.
Oh, there he is, right there.
I snuck in.
You did? Okay. Improving the quality of life for those living with Parkinson's disease. Through exercise, education, and peer support, we have Carrie Keene, director and fundraising and donor outreach for Parkinson's exercise program. F for you.
Yes. So, Polly, did we? Is there a video? There it is. Okay.
Ready to go.
I just, I just want to.
You can sit up.
Oh, no, this is fine. I like to sit right here by my friend. So I'm just really honored to be here. I've been serving on the Wellbeing Reimagined Committee for over a year, and I did this presentation for that committee. And as a result, I met a wonderful woman from AgeWell, and we now have classes in two senior centers that we weren't in before, in Puna Woods and San Clemente, and they're donating the space to us. So these are the kind of connections that we're hoping to make. So hi, we've seen all these people on Zoom so for months and months. So it's
been did you read the presentation last year?
So I just want you to sit back, relax, and watch this wonderful promo video that we made about a year ago. And I hope you enjoy it, and we can talk about the problem a little bit more after the video. And I also have some brochures that I'd like each of you to take. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paladin.
You're welcome.
Whoever's residents.
And we're talking about vision and for people who are considered to be because that one more than our work. And I have delivered our classes to 5,000 attendees annually, featuring both in-person and virtual classes. In 2020, we were recognized as one of the top 50 Parkinson's virtual exercise programs by Stanford University Department of Defense, and Debt4U was selected to be listed on the Orange County Nonprofit Central website. In addition to exercise classes, Debt4U offered a bi-weekly educational roundtable, air partner support group events, a monthly newsletter full of resources, social gatherings, and bereavement support. We welcome all those who would like to join our program. Visit pep4u.org to register and view our scheduled classes. As a small nonprofit organization with an $80,000 operating budget, we rely solely on the generosity of our local community to invest in our ever-expanding programs through donations, sponsorships, and community grants. Learn more about the many ways to support Debt4U and get complete program information at debt4u.org. Tax-free donations and sponsorships continue to make Debt4U programs available to Orange County's Parkinson's community free of charge. Find out how you can make a difference and help to improve the lives of those living with Parkinson's disease. 100% of your donations or sponsorship go directly to supporting our debt to the community.
Very good, thank you. So, Carrie, all those folks have Parkinson's, if you saw.
Yes, and
except the instructor, obviously.
Yes, and are we going to show the testimonial in
a physical? Yeah, yes.
One moment. Thank you.
exercise programs after it was founded at Pableton House support and would be very diverse and non-profit for people with Parkinson's disease in South Orange County, California.
That's what we need to
craft. After you, on relief does weekly exercise.
Thank you.
Is that the separate video, the second video that you sent over?
Or no, it's attached. You just have to let it keep playing.
Okay,
it's that right there.
They're just
maybe that's fine. But then they went out of their insurance sessions and they have where to go to keep exercising. So that's where PEP-3 comes into place. We're the place where they can continue exercising amongst their friends with professional instructors, and it's all free.
I've had Parkinson's for over 15 years, and the only thing that's kept it from getting worse is exercise. It's hard to find a place to exercise for Parkinson's, but I found it here with PEP-3, and I have an advantage. It's wonderful.
Hi, everyone. I'm Glenda. And I just wanted to tell you my little story about I'm so grateful I found this class. And in fact, I'm so grateful I found this program. I could hardly walk into it. And the day I was diagnosed, it was a god thing. There was a program right in front of me. And like 3 years now, I've changed my whole life. I can write again, I can use my hands, I can walk without hiccups. Plus, it gives me so many wonderful friends. And I wish everyone who has Parkinson's would come and experience this daily routine of exercise and what it can do for you.
So I was diagnosed about 8 years ago. I've been dealing with that fear since then. I assure you that I wouldn't be anywhere near as old or ambulatory as I am now without that fear. That's the exercise portion. And then there's the camaraderie. It's a great group of people. We get along and we all tell stories and help each other out. The final aspect of that for you is the education. We have an education hour every other week where we watch a webinar related to Parkinson's and symptoms and diagnosis. And help us learn about the disease.
For you, exercise classes, including this outdoor class here in the park, is so wonderful for people with Parkinson's, their social well-being, their emotional well-being, and most importantly, their physical well-being. And the literature and the research is really showing the benefit of exercise that people enjoy, that people love getting out, exercise that challenges people and really works them hard. Being outdoors is just an icing on the cake to get that emotional benefit.
Hi, I'm Debbie Gonzalez, care partner for Bill Gonzalez. Bill and I were devastated when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, but through PEP-3, we found a group that we could identify with. The exercise program has strengthened our bodies and our minds, and we are given skills that we utilize daily as well as into the future. Educational-wise, it has taught us and provided us resources, helping us to cope with the disease and the effects of the disease. Socialization, we have established everlasting friendship. We have shared experiences. We have shared stories, and we attend Christmas events, special occasions, and other events. PEP-4U is our home away from home. It's our happy place to go to. We are so gracious for our PTs, for our leaders, and families, and all those that make it possible. We thank you.
Welcome, friends, to our PEP-4U exercise program. My name is Cynthia. I'm the yoga teacher. Yoga is an excellent complement to any exercise program. It offers stretch, strength, balance for possible stability, as well as nervous system regulation by breathing and moving mindfully, to bring ourselves to a place of peace and ease. Come, join us. We'd love to have you.
That's it.
Wow. Very good. Thank you. Very informative.
So we've been around since 2014. We are getting ready to launch our 10-year anniversary campaign, if you will, fundraising campaign, to lead up to a gala in April of 2024. And I think that the thing, one of the things that sets us apart from other programs that are for fee-based is we are completely free to our members. All of our classes, our programs, our educational component, social events, we provide. And so we're self-funded, we're a small community-based organization, and have been at our own nonprofit for about a year and a half now. And so, of course, we're always looking for resources, but you know, money and volunteers. And so I think the thing that that I want to stress is that we have room in our classes. We have a lot of space. And so if everybody in this room can spread the word, we're now in 5 locations down in South Orange County, and we're growing another 2. We're going to open another 2 very soon in Irvine at the Lakeview Senior Center. And also we're working on one in Rancho Viejo. So currently we're in Laguna Niguel, Mission Viejo, at the outdoor classes in Mission Viejo. And we are at the Newport Mesa YMCA, San Clemente Senior Center, and also up in Laguna Woods. So I do have brochures for everyone to take and spread the word. And if you know of anyone who is interested in getting involved with our organization, we'd love to hear from them.
Thank you. Any questions for Gary?
Where did the issue of diet and socialization come into play?
What was that, sir?
The issue of diet and socialization come into play with Parkinson's clients?
Well, when you say that, you mean how do we put that into our program?
Or is there anything unique about a Parkinson's diet or a unique diet or something different?
Well, Parkinson's is going to require the healthy eating. And we're stressing the importance of exercise and movement. So and actually we had a nutrition program. We partner with Michael J. Fox Foundation because they have a lot of good programming. And when we see a good program, we will offer it in our education roundtable, which is held now once a month. So we did have a nutrition component that we offered, and healthy eating was really the main focus.
I have every morning, 5 days a week, I walk with my neighbor who has Parkinson's, 5:30 in the morning, and he's in great shape. But there are times when he does feel it, and it is progressive, but it's slow in this case. And I understand there's no cure for Parkinson's.
Currently, there's no cure. No.
Yes, Sam.
My mom died of Parkinson's, so I was in the Parkinson's support group in Minnesota, but I learned a lot about it. And this is fabulous because, of course, she died quite a few years ago. There was nothing for them physically. You could just watch the deterioration get worse because as they can't move, then they move even less and less, and they deteriorate so quickly. And when she was diagnosed, the doctor asked her how long she expected to live. And my mom's from the generation, I'm like, what are you asking me? And he told my sister, because the medication we have to put her on is so severe, she'll probably get 10 years out of it. So these people talking, I can see that they've been from advances. But I also wanted to mention, and I don't have the name of it, my family's always checking to see if it's genetically related. My sister said they just had a discovery in Norway, and they think they found what might cause it, and it's some form of bacteria, and I don't remember the name. It's a crazy one thing, but I just wanted to compliment you because this is fabulous. Because, like I said, back then there was nothing for them, they just told them to go home and it just deteriorated. So, and I'd also read that boxing is really good for them, that there's something with the feet hand coordination, mm-hmm. is supposed to be really good. So, my compliment.
Thank you for your comments.
And I wouldn't say that's just true of Parkinson's. I would think as we get older, you know, the move it or lose it is so true, especially with arthritis. Arthritis, which we'll all get sooner or later, you can hold that at bay if you can move. It's like oil for your tongue. You got to move, and then it's not as severe. So many benefits. And I don't mean, I love when I'm doing it. Actually, this wasn't, you know, a boot camp or a triathlon. Very simple in your chair, just moving.
Right.
We had, what group was it? One of our subcommittees had a presentation on a gal who talked about exercising simple, like when you're sitting here, just cut your foot out and just dipping your toe down or just wiggling your ankles around. You can do it anywhere, and it keeps you moving. Like, there's a question. Oh, yes, please.
I just wanted to make a comment. This morning in the LA Times, and I'm not trying to quote them, but Michael J. Fox movie is going to be on, and they were talking about it, and still on Apple TV.
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Mary, do you offer the classes in the evenings and or any other time on the weekends and in any other languages, like your instructors?
So we have one class on the weekend, which is actually a virtual boxing class. But all of our classes are offered virtually through our website because they're all put there and recorded. So anyone can tune in anytime. We did try one class in Spanish, and we had trouble getting enough participants. But yes, that is an area that we'd really love to offer more, you know, bilingual classes in the area, you know, in Orange County. But it's really tough.
And are the education piece, is the education piece also open to their caregivers and or their
support? Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But are the classes as well? So
yeah,
but when
we encourage care partners to attend, right?
Gary, is this only located in South County? Are you
currently? We only go as far as Irvine because of funding and trying to find qualified instructors, because the instructors have to be specially trained in movement disorders, and so it's hard to find. The instructors are paid. And then we usually have to pay for space. So every class that we offer is a $5,000 event per year. So
I would love to see that get in our city, North County Art Center. We have a new cultural arts center, and it's got a large gym, internal gym area, like what you were seeing there. And I thought that'd be perfect.
Yes, we were in talks with the Fullerton YMCA. So that would be, you know, another step further up north. And the YMCA is really handy because they have the room, but they charge us $50 per class. Okay, well, I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I love.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, well, the same one, we don't really help have a facility that maybe could be a large double basketball court. We also have another large auditorium.
At the community center?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you stick around?
Yes, absolutely.
Talk to me afterward. I'll see if I can put you in contact with some of them. I assume that free space is a good thing you need.
That's great. That saves $2,500 a year per class.
Okay. Talk to me after that. I'll see if I can link you up with our directors.
Okay. And Laguna Hills would be a good next step because we're already up in, or Laguna Hills, because we're in Laguna Woods. We have instructors who live in that area.
Yeah, we're at least. Plenty of measure. We're right in the middle of this.
Oh, I know. Alicia and Sarah Van Valencia. I know exactly where it is.
Joan and Marianne.
Because I had the privilege of hearing this before, and to Sandy's point, I'd like to offer the invitation if we have time for Carrie to give a little bit of how you see a problem in your community and how you can make a reality-based solution. So if you talk a little bit about your trajectory, I think it's really inspiration.
In terms of my personal?
Yeah.
Okay, so my father and brother both have Parkinson's. My brother passed at 60. My dad lived to 91. So I was familiar with the disease. And a good friend of mine, who I was a Girl Scout leader with, knew about my father, but she didn't know about my brother. She also knew that I was a self-taught fundraiser from the days of PTA and high school, you know, music programs and putting on silent auctions. So she put two and two together. She sat me down, and it was about a year after my father had passed away. My brother had already died. So it was just a wonderful fit for me. to sort of give back and make that as sort of a legacy to honor my family members. And that's how I got involved in Pet for You. And we were really, really small in the beginning in 2014. And I joined in 2018. There was only one class with a few students. And now look at us, we have almost 300 members, participants who are signed up. But there are 10,000 people in Orange County who are diagnosed with Parkinson's. So we have a long way to go to be able to, you know, get more membership. But thanks for asking, Jonas.
Well, and on a personal note, the three people that I've introduced to are world-renowned. Just, it's such a gift into their lives.
Changing lives.
You know, that's another example of what Mary pointed out, that the cities can get involved. I think the cities probably don't have a clue about this yet, or at least to this level of the numbers you're talking about. And every community, I'm sure, has bigger parts.
Are you able to speak to groups?
Of course, I'll bring my video. Mm-hmm.
And then if you get a free space, does that take care of the expense?
The only expense that we have is to pay the instructor. And they get a very nominal, like I'll just tell you, they get $60 per class. But that includes, you know, commuting to and from. Right. And quite often they're volunteering over and above that. And that they're professional physical therapists, yoga teachers. And it's really just sort of a nominal, almost an honorarium.
So I'm a council member in Villa Park. And so I always bring back to the council, you know, stuff we hear. Is it pot that I plan on, you know, I wrote a lot of stuff, kind of speak about it. Is it possible to get a copy of the presentation so that we can put it on our website?
Yes. It's on our website.
Okay, so I can just put my stuff and go pull it. So because we do a weekly newsletter,
yes.
Whenever I talk about something, I try and make sure that the residents can go and access.
Yes.
Crystal, it's on video. So your staff can go on video. I'll send you the links.
Okay.
And they can download the link and plug it into their
site.
And then I too might have a space for you.
In Villa Park? Mm-hmm. Where's some?
Oh.
Yeah.
The donut hole of a donut, if you have like orange animal hills or partakers,
yeah.
So we're the donut holes. So we're right kind of nestled in the middle.
Yeah. That would be a good central location to branch out.
Okay. So I'll give you my card.
Great.
Okay, we're making things happen here.
I love it.
Any other questions? Yes, please.
So, you know, the Parkinson's disease, sometimes you know, the brain cell have a lot of function of issue. Any particular reason cause this Parkinson's disease? Things that have been adjusted, or your DNA, or your any water cause a particular reason
for causing?
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at toxicity, like. In the environment, that in terms of what people have been exposed to during their careers, dangerous, you know, fumes and so forth as possibly being a cause, but they really don't know specifically. It's a mystery.
That's
true.
They don't know, but one of the things they're thinking is well water.
It's really interesting that someone said like your father lived into his 90s and your brother only lived into his
60s. Yeah, certain people are diagnosed early in life. We call that early onset.
Okay.
My brother was diagnosed in his early 50s, but my father not until his early 80s.
Okay. Yeah, my neighbor's in his 70s and he looks like he'll go much longer. So it's not a death sentence immediately.
Well, look at Michael J. Fox. Right?
Is there any information that you have that you can provide on what to look for so people can do an early diagnosis? Is there, like, or at least be seen if they're having symptoms, you know, what the signs of the symptoms are?
Sure. You know? I mean, we would provide that through our education material.
Yeah, that would be great. If you
sure. Can. I can send you something.
You know, let's talk about a minute about Michael J. Fox, though. It seems like it came on. mean, fairly, but very severe.
Yeah.
I don't see many that get it that severe.
Right. Right.
Nice.
Part of what Michael J. Kennedy is not taking the medication that would ameliorate the symptoms. And he's doing that very intentionally so that people will see the impact of the disease. Because sometimes when people are well informed, you don't automatically recognize that they have a neurological disorder.
Do you think they could mask some of this?
Well, I'm sure they could. He's choosing not to.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so severe. I'm surprised somebody could.
I saw an interview with him. He said he's going to perform and he takes the medication like 20 minutes before he comes up so he can control. Also, the other reason he's not taking so that, but you're correct. And the other reason is that so severe and the lie that they're saying is that they told my mom 10 years and then you're done with the medication. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Well, thank you, Carrie. That was fabulous. You can stick around. That's okay.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for presenting. Okay, we've got some action items now. Let's go to elections with the staff secretary. And I will accept nominations now. The floor is open. If anyone wants to nominate him to be our secretary, we'll get us started with Elizabeth.
I nominate Dave Tesla.
Okay.
I
second. Second, we have any other nominations? Dave is hoping. Okay, I'll close the nominations then, and let's have a vote. All those in favor? Yes.
You mean I have to warn everybody though?
Yes.
That I learned through an English dictionary versus an American dictionary.
Yes.
So you may see some spelling.
So there's a U. S for U.
Yeah.
Well, we call that just being creative. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be very creative.
Okay. All right. Now it's closed. So let's have a all those in favor of David Kessel as our secretary. Say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Because if you oppose, you'll be in. Yes, unanimous, Dave, your secretary. Thank you. It's official. You're no longer acting.
Right? All right. Thank you very much. And thanks for your support.
Thank you.
And that expires on November 2023. Is that what I'm saying?
Correct. It's just for the unexpired term.
We have to go through this again in November.
But you're going to have to go through it for all the officers. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Chair items. Any new business? I don't have any new. Well, we have a couple of new members that are being proposed. I don't think either of them are here today. And this document seems pretty sharp. It says required by our bylaw, they have to attend this meeting at least once and then a subcommittee at least once. So I think the two I hired, one of them will be able to make the subcommittee. So then they'll have to come back to this next time around. Any other new business? Think not. How about old business? We have any old business? Should have old business. We're all old. Yeah, you're right. I think we're bringing back one because I'm always an advocate of don't let the old man in. Bylaws update. Yes. Our bylaws committee.
We don't have any updates. We left our bylaws offline.
Bylaws is currently with County Council right now.
So our portion is done.
Yeah,
right now.
County Council, thus they decide to move up the chain, make some tweaks, and then come back on us.
Correct.
What will be the committee designation that is the new bylaw?
Well, we understand. I don't think, I'm not sure they want to share that just yet because they're not official. So.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we don't want to taint the water here. So. All right, chair comments. Other than I hope you're all doing well. It seems like they're my little bullet seems to be a resurgence of COVID going around.
Yeah.
Our CEO of Orange County Transportation Authority has had it down pretty hard on 11 days, and he's a pretty strong guy, and it's hitting hard. So I know Mayor Hughes had it too. So there's a couple of modified versions going around, which I thought were flu like, but. His was not, so there's something still going around out there. So be careful, be safe.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to mask up, just make sure you're washing and cleaning your areas and getting a lot of fresh air and such.
RSV is going to be very contagious.
RSV,
respiratory,
and it's attacking the lungs.
Yeah,
that's always a tough one to look at.
Our head is not good.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think we all heard it, and that's really important. Do your exercise. And it doesn't have to be anything strenuous. You're out there, you know, just going up a storm, but just move. Your body's meant to move. If it sits dormant, it's going to decay. And it's so unfortunate. I see a lot of older folks. They I just can't move anymore. What are you sitting here waiting to die? Because that's going to happen. You know, you've got to get up there.
That's encouraging.
Well, sometimes, you know, you got to smack the needle right between the eyes, because it's sometimes like, oh, I just can't get up. I can't deny. Yeah, you can. Come on, let's go.
I'm
not going to call all of us. No, I said there are little animals here. Are you resisting that?
But it's, I heard
yes.
Great.
You know, I go to the gym three days a week.
Good.
And more and more I've seen more older people in there, you know, they're, even the young kids are more, hey, you know, again, what are you talking about?
That's great. Yeah. Well, you know what? We have the time. Come on. You can't have excuses.
Oh.
Young people were.
Oh.
Well, theoretically. Yeah.
Well, the Medicare Advantage program, they offer free gym
membership. Yeah.
But by no excuse now. You go to Medicare, you get it.
You can always pay an excuse there. You're right.
All the money is not an issue now. It shouldn't be an issue.
It's a lot. I heard the term motion is lotion for your body.
That's horrible.
The other day from my cousin. Oh, good.
Write that down. Is motion for the body.
Yeah,
the four B's. Five B's. Be brief, baby. Be brief. All right, let's go. Meredith, with you. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Off on aging updates.
Fine.
Body up.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I Barry, thank you for the wonderful presentation. I have a very soft spot for individuals with Parkinson's. I am a caregiver myself for my father with Parkinson's. So yeah, it's a tough endeavor there sometimes. So thank you for all that you do. And I also wanted to thank those that attended the conference, the C4A conference this past Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I wanted to just give a quick little report out on that. It was very much well attended. Conference and lots of advocacy at the state level in terms of really the importance of data sharing, data platforms to really show the narrative and be able to advocate at all levels, both the state and the federal level, specifically the state's efforts to advocate at the federal levels for funding and continued funding of the Older Americans Act and the authorizations of the Older Americans Act. So lots of great sessions. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Those that attended, I got a chance to hang out and go to a couple classes with you. Meredith, thank you for being there, John. And wanted to say thanks for that commitment. I know that drive was a little bit brutal at some of those days, but we
need to think about that, though. If you think Meredith, this is a picture of quasi-IOD and driving her Fort Risk, took a beating. Share with the county that. That's not a quick drive. That's a long, arduous drive, especially in LA traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be so much easier if we were keeping our folks up.
Yes, I got to experience that myself too. I thought, well, and Pauline, so thank you for being there. We had the opportunity to support staff as well to attend the sessions. And so very much well attended, encourage you all as it really exposes you to the network of aging and really how much of a small world that is. And we're running to each other and how we can pick each other's brain and what is happening even in our neighboring counties or, you know, throughout the state. So wanted to say that was a much successful conference. Month of May, it is the Older Americans Month. So thank you, Pauline. She's been working with our media and public information officer to get the word out that May is Older Americans Month, and the theme of this year is Aging Unbound. So talking about Parkinson's and movement and nutrition and lotion is the body. talk about, you know, Unbound and really engaging and having that movement and opportunities to engage and remain active in your community, which is what every single one of you do here, and taking that time every month to attend and connect with each other and take all these wonderful resources back to your communities. You are supporting that process. So I want to acknowledge you all, each and every one of you, and thank you for all the support and the advocacy that you have for our older population here in our county. Thank you. I do want a quick little update just to confirm in terms of the bylaws and the process and where we are. It is currently with our county council. So for those of you new to that process, once county council gets a chance to just review that, if any feedbacks and or recommendations, they will be communicated back to us, and Pauline will then get that to your group, to the executive team, so that then you can bring it to the full council for approvals and further discussions if need be. Other than that, that is all I have to update on. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Claudia. We appreciate that.
I have one thing I want to add. I sent you guys last night, I don't know if you all got it, but World Elder Abuse Awareness Day is coming up on June 15th. It's a save the date. It's 10 o'clock. It sounds like it's going to be an online virtual thing. So look for more information coming from us as to the details when we get that. Last night was just a save the date. Get it in your calendar if you're interested in participating.
And are we assuming that's a growing problem now? As the population ages, probably more. Yes,
Bobby. I can say a little bit on that. Because our, yes, aging population is increasing, so that we are exposed and our older adults are exposed to more issues and or events leading to elder abuse. One effort that the state, California Department of Social Services and Health and Human Services, one change they did is that they lowered the age of what elder abuse, what constitutes the age. So where it used to be an elder defined as a person that was age 65 and older, now it is 60 and older. So what that means
60
for,
is older? Are you kidding me? That's silly.
individuals now who are age 60 and older are now defined under, you know, elder abuse in terms of the penal code. So that is the change in which our sister agency here in our county, which is our social service agency. I would encourage definitely, if that is a topic of interest and resource need for information, that we can definitely make some connections there if you're looking for someone to come and speak on behalf of elder abuse and kind of some of those changes and what's happening there in the world of social service agency. So just wanted to
give
that.
Just then, and for Mother's Day, to let my children know.
I have a question. Is scamming of seniors considered abuse?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so that qualifies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, self-neglect is a big thing.
Self-neglect, scams, neglect by others, isolation. There's quite a list of issues and things that older adults and individuals who are considered dependent adults, those who are not able to advocate on their behalf, and they can be under the age of 60 and still be covered under technically dependent and or elder abuse.
And sadly, yes. I think many of that abuse by family members.
I would sound very crazy, but don't have
that's to that's it.
Holly, what was the date? June what?
June 15th.
Well, Gene?
Yes.
I'd like to give a high five to the Veterans Services Center. They're at the office. It was I was expecting that nightmare signing up because my friends have been coming up and it was very fluid effort. Got all signed up. I already have a confirmation letter from the veterans office. And how about you, Dave?
I've had total satisfaction.
Yes, it was.
That's good. Very nice. Yeah, John?
Get over here.
Excellent. But the systems do work. You know, I always share the negatives when they don't, but we never hear the positives when they go, you know, I haven't had that yet with DMV, but I'm hoping on it.
Dream.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that acknowledgement. I am also over the Veteran Service Office, so that would be mine to do if there were any questions, concerns, whatnot, but absolutely love to hear when staff are doing great jobs in connecting our veterans to their services and much needed benefits. So thank you for that.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
And Claudia, the Veteran Legion and VFW have service officers, but those programs ebb and flow based on funding. What's it? The organization at the county because it's funded all the time. So, and I'm hearing nothing but great things in terms of, it used to be long ways and those are gone. And that's huge. But there's nothing like getting discouraged. You want some service now. And you're told to come back in 3 months, something like that. Kudos. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, John.
Okay, now perfect. Now let's go to standing committee reports. Our vice chair, Meredith.
Not starting with you. We have a meeting for the senior citizens engagement committee on Monday, I know.
Yes, Chris.
Anything else to share?
I have a couple of things. I'm just going to quickly summarize the April meeting with a legislative update that we provided that covered about 50 bills. CFL will have something called the CFL Advocate, which will be a distribution in the next 15 days that will again identify approximately 50 bills. However, as we learned at the conference, the federal budget crisis is going to have a dramatic impact on senior programs and funding. We will find out for sure this afternoon, the projection is there's a $30 billion shortfall at the state level.
We are maybe by today.
Yes, yes. So that again will have a significant impact. There are 1,500 bills in the legislature. My estimation is 75% of those are shelved right now. Shelved meaning there's a term called the Fed file. Okay, so it's just a management tool for a lack of a better term that basically I'm not going to let anything go further until we figure out what the budget outcome is going to be. 75% of our bills are in the Fed at this point in time. So, editor, I pointed out, we're in a very interesting, you sort of wonder, should we function of that money we handed out to people to say, here's $500. How much of that would have helped? We'd have hung on to that. And, maybe we wouldn't be sustaining some of the savings.
It would be nice, John, if you try to work through that.
Yeah. That's all. And our meeting on Monday, just a point of information, the topic is going to be Office on Aging update on our technology program. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Rachel, I'll be, again, I'm the chair for the Wellness Freedom Action. Our last meeting, we had presentation from Ruth Coe on the aging. For the Aging and Disability Resource Connection. And I thought she did a very good job of explaining to us how an end user gets connected with various resources that are available to them. So it's so useful. On the tech side, I think we have a whole bunch of committees we're sort of talking about technology. We have determined that we need to get a better handle on what kinds of programs, at what level, who's presenting them, how much they cost, kinds of things for training on technology. And I volunteered to do a survey, but frankly, I haven't got there. But the committee members have volunteered to take that little survey out to the senior centers and help us collate some information back. So that would be my goal for June and July. The first part of the line would be very helpful for June and July. That'll be helpful. Our next meeting is next week, and Brooke Waxman, who is the director and founder of the Elder Law and Disability Center, is going to do a presentation again, focusing on when he gets a referral for a senior, what services is she connecting with, and how are they working with the senior from the state planning issue, from the conservatory issue. Those two issues, particularly, I referred a client to her who was being abused by her brother, who was the trustee on her parents' estate. And they helped them in because she's low income. This group helps people who are low in or have on the sliding scale, not paying $500 an hour for an attorney. So we're exposing the group again to that resource. And they are listed in the after magazine of the resource as well. This will give you a better guide then.
Awesome, thank you. And then we have Crystal having an invitation. Rich, unfortunately, I'm so sorry. I had to cancel the other day due to a slab leak at my home. So that meeting didn't take place. So I apologize to everyone who was supposed to be there. But I have any more to come next month, right?
Rachel, others can attend our meeting on Wednesday, correct?
Absolutely.
I was with one of the lawyers from her office last night. And I think he's a great guy. And he goes, you know what, Brooke is one of the smartest people I know.
Yeah.
And my husband's had some interactions with her because of Moonwalk. And he says, wow, what a powerhouse. So I'm really looking forward to meeting her. So I'm delighted that I've had her to join us.
Yeah, Brooke was responsible to organize the lawsuit against the county for the folks who were camping along the riverbed and helping to get that resolved in everybody's favor, I feel. And she's a relatively young woman, and she is pulling in attorneys who are or students who are in law school to be her interns. And that's, again, exposing students to what are the issues that are in the disability and in the senior community. So a win-win, I think, in regards to, we talked a lot about training and how this next generation is going to learn something about the issues that we all expose to. And this certainly is helpful at the attorney law school level. And I apologize, everyone, but I serve on the board of FIN, and we have an emergency meeting, and I have to go. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the senior center liaison update. I know we discussed about senior centers regarding use of fentanyl by older adults. Any links? We're going to work on getting flyers to those centers.
Yeah, so I brought up at our last meeting, and then we discussed some more in the executive committee meeting. We're all aware of the fentanyl crisis. Now we're starting to see an uptick in seniors because of the price of medication and inflation and not being able to afford everything. So we are seeing a slight uptick, and we want to address that before it goes any further. So, and there aren't any campaigns currently that are specifically targeting senior citizens to make them pay attention and say, oh, it's not just you, or it's not just the underreported. So we are working together, myself, Crystal, Pauline, pulling together resources also with the Orange County Sheriff's Department and the DEA to come up with it. It's a two-pronged approach. The first initial would be basically just like the informational flyers that we need create and then distribute to the senior centers and senior communities, which is where the senior center liaisons on this committee would have a pivotal role. And then the second step would be to, and the Sheriff's Department has offered, and there are other groups, to provide workshops and informational sessions. And then we can make those available and kind of be the liaison to get that information out there. So we are moving ahead with this quite quickly or as fast as we can, because it is becoming a crisis in our county, and just want to bring that to your attention and get the consensus from staff that we move forward with this. So are there any discussion, questions, or should we just keep going forward? We're going for it, so the consensus of staff is to move forward with that two-step or two-pronged.
Thank you. And then everyone will send it to their assigned senior center.
Yes.
And I don't know whether we talk about
Pauline.
Yeah, I have a question. In terms of senior citizen or senior center liaisons, can you raise your hand if you are, I'm assuming all of you are supposed to be liaisoning with your senior centers. How frequently are you doing that?
Every time I get something, I guess it on to my outreach person.
Okay, because for our new members who are here, that is one of kind of the expectations, is that the information that you get from this committee, that you take it and you disseminate it to your senior centers and any other avenues that may be available to you in your local community. So I want to make sure that it's everyone has a role in getting this information out, and it's not just, oh, well, that's going to be Elaine because she's the leader of that.
Yeah.
That's
well, and I believe before we send that out that the board will have revised our list and added in the staff member as far as senior center liaisons. And let me just say, when you're assigned as a senior center liaison, it may not be the senior center in your city. Because look around, I mean, we have a few of us are from the same city, and then there's other cities that don't have anybody. And then there are also some cities that have more than one senior center. So you need to work with that city on how do they get the information out. Do they want it to go into one director and that director disseminates it? Or do they want you contacting every center in that city? So that's a relationship that you need to build and establish. And it's two-way communication. We push information out, but then you're also talking to them and see what are their needs so you can bring it to staff.
Yeah, yes. More to follow on that because we do need to discuss the role. What is the role of the liaison? I'm not going to end up in your
That's kind of what I was asking. First of all, I wanted to have, I don't know what my assignment is, so I needed a bit derelict on that and like pick up speed. But I also like to know what the best practices are amongst our members of how we do that.
And what does it mean when you later?
Yeah.
I was going to ask also, because I think I have several senior members that I'm a liaison for, but I think there are some new ones that have come online. So can we get an updated list of any of the new centers and then also a reminder?
We need to work with the group, as I mentioned, that is leading the senior center directors so that we can get some efficiencies on updates and how to work that together.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah.
When Pauline jumped in, I want to make sure that thought we had talked about that very issue. The staff is going to find, locate where those monthly meetings with the senior center directors meet and when.
I did find out about that. So Jocelyn with
the Orange County
Agency. Yeah, she actually added me to the list. So I'm going to be participating in those monthly, quarterly meet. I think it's quarterly.
The monthly
meetings of all the senior center directors as well. So
we would like to also hear from them. What's the best way to communicate? And if they can get the word out that maybe we want this reciprocal relationship, because right now it's been a little tough.
And that's exactly what we need to find out, so we can share that information with our newer members or the existing members. What exactly they want as liaison? What does that mean? What are they supposed to do? And what do they lay it on? Elaine mentioned that this is quote two-way communication, both from them to us and from us to them.
They need to tell their rents.
Yeah. So they need to see us as resources. We need to find out, hey, we don't want to just swing in the blind. What is it you need? What do you want to hear?
Well, whoever the senior center liaison person is for this group also needs to be part of that conversation. We need a new one. So we need somebody that from this committee that's going to take the lead on that.
And if you have an interest in that, who would like to do that later? All right. We
I'll
have a friend here. I was
Well, that's not a gentleman.
I have a favorite suggestion, a favorite from Office on Aging, perhaps, or maybe from you, Jean, as leader of staff. Frequently, when I'm in senior centers bringing information or announcements about things, they're reluctant to put the information out if it's not going to happen at their center. So there needs to be some kind of communication from on high,
yes,
that this is important and it's not just.
We don't want to negotiate 30 different times. We want to negotiate one time.
Yes. It's kind of interesting, even if it's a really good public service kind of event. I mean, if it's not happening in their center, they say, no, we're not going to put it out. Or if I send an email, it goes nowhere. So there needs to be a little.
Well, Lee, that's exactly what you bring up, speaking to share with them, that the art would like to make sure that when we, because we cut all city boundaries, so when we get all this good information, just because it doesn't pertain to my city, but it may pertain to another city, that information needs to go out. You can't leave your city boundaries, you know, right? You can drive in another city. So let's make sure that, because there's a lot of things, right? South Camp's always having good stuff. Lisbon's always shouting out what's going on there. That's what that group needs to do, and not this parochial that, well, this will take my group.
Well, let me play devil's advocate on that for a second.
Sure.
I understand that, yes, you're not confined to one particular city or one particular senior center, but at the same time, being on the back end of that and getting requests into the county from every agency, it can become an administrative nightmare for one agency to produce information for all 34 counties on various events that are taking place at senior centers around. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I will tell you that is part of the problem, because I know these places, like we do in the county as well, they may have a policy in place that says, yes, we can promote this, or no, we can't promote this. And their direction, right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, is to serve the residents of their community.
Well, we just need to know that so we're not wasting time. So we just need to figure out what the rules of the game are.
But
I think that's something for your senior, that's a discussion item amongst this group, as to how you're going to do that and how you're going to move forward with that.
Well, one thing I would share, I want to be careful that we don't self-select and limit the information, because let's ask them, do you have a policy, which I doubt. And two, it can be as much as just putting up a flyer on your bulletin board in the center or on your website. You know, it's not real intense. It's going to cause a lot of work.
When you have several nonprofits and organizations throughout Orange County requesting the same thing, and then you have people going, well, this organization had their flyer on, and another organization comes and says, no, you can't do it. There is, having worked in local government for many, many, many years and being on in communications, we had to develop a policy at the city of Laguna Niguel as to what the role was going to be for city staff to promote all of these various events and activities that we get requests from all the time.
Yeah, but I think we're going down a different road here, because what we're looking for, and my understanding is, for the senior centers to put up the information from staff.
Right,
or from the Office on Aging.
Correct.
For that, not all this other stuff, all this other stuff from other organizations, that's determined at that senior center level. But we want to know when we go in with something from staff,
yep,
from the Office on Aging, that's already, you know, if they're going to accept it.
That makes more sense. That's totally different.
I'm going to add, our role for Office on Aging, of course, is we partner with the senior centers and community centers for the senior population. We will disseminate and we will share information, programming, or special events, or anything, a flyer, I think you know, informational awareness campaign. We will share that. However, you know, what and how that particular jurisdiction, Denver City and our center, then branches out, whether they want to keep it in-house or branch out and partner with their community, is the very thing that we're not going to be involved in necessarily, right? To tell them how to do that for their communities. It'll be up to them, but in terms of making sure that it gets to them and making sure it gets to even our county entities that also serve our population, that's definitely, you know, our role to share that. And just
the ask is there.
I think what we're looking at is not so much, and I think Elaine's hitting on it there. If we get the information out to the individual center, they're not going to be able to do. But if you emphasize that, hey, Lincoln and Adele is having a health fair at this time, and it's going to have these kind of activities there, inoculations, vaccine, whatever. That's something I think that whole South County, probably, the whole county might want to know. So some things we have to make sure we emphasize, and that's really going to be the top of the liaisons, not to complain to the group, but our liaisons calling those centers, say, hey, are you aware of this event coming up? Just a heads up. What they do with it is up to them. You're exactly right. It's like what the cities do.
Yeah.
We do a lot of self-select. We self-select information you'll never know about. Well, is that good or bad? It is what it is. There's a hand up over here. Yes.
Yeah. You know, Anaheim has more than one senior center. So what I do is I have Marine as kind of one group on my computer. And whenever I get information, I just send it out. And whenever they change directors, either senior center, the going director will tell me I'm leaving, I'm going to operate. We had one go from Anaheim to Santa Ana. He told me, okay, I'm going to Santa Ana, so that's the new person. And then I contact the new person via email and back and forth and whatever. And it works fine because they always let me know.
You're absolutely right. It can work. I mean, I get emails from all over the county on events, a lot of cultural events in Irvine or wherever. And then I have the opportunity to say, yeah, I think that's interesting. I'm going to share that or I'm going to go myself. But I want to be able to make that call if I don't even know about it because, well, we don't send them to Northern County. Well, wait a minute. You know, this is good stuff that's going on. So, and there's a lot. And yes, it's work. And it takes a lot of, if you think you're going to be on council and do nothing, hey, don't run, really. There's a lot of work involved here. But that's why you take it on. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Yes,
Dave. I knew the long list stuff. Do we have a list of all the senior centers?
Yes, we do.
And we have a representative, like, among the groups for each one of them?
We did. Well, that's pointed out by Merrick. We had, you had multiple, one person had multiple centers and it may not necessarily be in your immediate area, but in another area. We have to freshen that list up because a lot of those folks have since left our group. So we're remiss on getting that together, but we will. There's a lot on the plate we got to now freshen up and get going again. And this is one of the critical ones. And this is what we're supposed to be doing, sharing this information. We just heard a great presentation on Pat, which, man, I'm fired up for that. Cut forward. I think that's a good shot. I would have never known that. It was only happening in Laguna. They said, yeah, we'll come to Clippers County.
That's maybe one of our first steps is to generate that letter and know that list and have a representative.
So Patty just, I have his volunteer.
Is she going to try to coordinate the messaging from that organization to the various senior centers?
To the directors, so they meet once a month. There's a formalized group that meets through the Aging Service Collaborative. And so my thought is I'll start attending those meetings regularly with messaging from the most recent SCAC meeting.
And that's the meeting you're talking about, Pauline?
That'll be very efficient, and then we'll get buy-in from them. So when we do other outreach,
Because my interaction typically the response, I want something glossy. I want something that I can put out on the table, not the agenda, not the minutes. I want
an announcement.
Yes, I want messaging that I because it's a.
They want it consumable.
Exactly, and it's really not, don't take this wrong, real sophisticated. I mean, it's placed on the counter in many of us, sometimes included in the newsletter, but it's got to be something they can incorporate.
That's what I'm hoping our liaisons can do. Trips there and say, hey, where's the fire? Well, it's over in that corner. Oh, really? Gosh, maybe we had to have it out here. Maybe I can make a presentation of what your centers and say, this is what's happening now, and just be aware.
And also for our newer members, an important role of
the staff liaisons during COVID was not so much, you know, sending emails or providing glossing, which is an important thing because we want to share information. But a lot of times our staff members were asked to actually speak to the senior center director, and we took a survey and we asked them some questions because there was specific information that we were looking for. That was an important role that served us well during COVID.
Unfortunately, that kind of boiled down to just making a quick call to the center. Anything going on there we can share? No? Okay, great, thanks.
No, but we had specific questions that we were asking.
And did they answer those questions?
Yes.
I was on the phone with each of them for at least a half hour.
So are you telling us where Belinda didn't?
No, I'm saying I heard from others that I was doing.
Yeah.
But you did a job.
No, I think they appreciated that we called and asked some questions that were, getting involved.
Excellent. Okay. See.
Thanks.
Presentation schedule. Sandy and Barbara, that's you guys, right?
Right. We're going to meet after this meeting and start working on the rest of the year.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions or topics or
groups? Anything you'd like to hear? Good stuff.
Yes, I have some suggestions that are part of my announcements, so maybe we can take 5 minutes afterwards. But I have a couple of minutes.
Okay, very good. Well, we're right there now. Announcements by SCAC members. So why don't we start with you, Patty?
All right. There is new legislation enacted just earlier this year regarding medical surrogate decision makers and a documentary process for verbally appointed people. And I think it's probably of interest to anybody who might need to call on their surrogate decision maker. It's a sea change in how that works for both patients with capacity and patients with incapacity. So that might be a good presentation.
Is this impact or the difference, the medical power of attorney?
It's a new a change to how you do that. And actually, the verbally appointed medical decision maker supersedes a written medical power of attorney.
Really?
So it's complicated. And you
really did. We really need some update on that. Yeah. Yes, apparently a verbal can over is right. more authority than written power of attorney.
For certain episodes, and there's very specific criteria.
Do you remember what the building number was?
2338,
I believe. Oh, that sounds great. I think that's all.
Then in the Leisure World Seal Beach, there is a new program that is being enacted now. Some of you may know that in their social services office, the Council on Aging and Alzheimer's and Orange County are embedded in the office there to make the residents of Leisure World Seal Beach to get those kinds of services, to talk to a social worker. Home visits are being done. And so now there's going to be an evidence-based pilot on care navigation called Care Ecosystem. It was in the newspaper in the Leisure World this week. So it's actually really exciting because it will not only reach more people who have needs, particularly with cognitive disorders, spare time for a lot of people who need help get help.
Very important for you. The newsletter that you put out in Leisure World, does it have this kind of information?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. If it's not said, they have information. But program.
Could you bring in a copy?
I certainly can. They do it weekly.
Okay.
And I will talk to them anyway and see if they will give us space.
They do this weekly.
They have a weekly newspaper.
Whoa.
And they have actually on the page. Yeah.
Okay.
They'll have things that are available to us and whatever, all the goings on in that community. But I will talk to them and ask them to give us space. So far, they haven't done that, and I don't know why, which is one of the reasons why I asked them to appoint this, because I want the people in my community to know what's out there and what's available.
Good.
I have just a couple more. This week publicly announced the Irvine Adult Day Healthcare Center is closing as of about the first week of June. So other adult day healthcare centers in the area, ours on Eltora Road, there's an adult day healthcare in Tustin, there's a couple in Santa Ana. We're all kind of working together to see how we can help those participants not lose service. So that's happening.
See, that's why it's important to know what's going on in the other cities.
Right. Right, because if that will impact, they have a daily participant of about 30 on an average, but that means they probably have 75 or 100 people enrolled, because not everybody goes every day.
That's what you know why they're closing.
Financial, and clearly Beeson is leaving the state, the director.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Healthcare Services of the state of California has put together a really exciting education program for primary care physicians called Dementia and DeVere. And it's going to educate primary care physicians on cognitive health assessments. And believe it or not, most primary care doctors receive no training whatsoever on how to do a cognitive health assessment, even though it's required by the Medicare annual wellness visit. So the UC campuses are charged with orchestrating this locally, and UC Irvine has contracted with Alzheimer's North County to be the official outreach. So if you're interested, coming up on May 17th at noon, which brings us to find out what we imagine, but I'll work on that. At Lestinac Free Clinic, the largest free clinic in the state, we will have a training of physicians and other clinical staff on dementia care aware. It's a 1-hour program that can be delivered in person or online by Dr. Lisa Gibbs, who's the chief of geriatrics and gerontology and family practice at UCI. And it's a really interesting, exciting elevation of the conversation about cognitive health assessment. So if you go to your doctor, primary care doctor, do you know about dementia care aware? And if they don't, please shoot me an email. We'll make sure they do. As just to save the date, June 17th in the morning, 9:30 to noon, there'll be an aging resource rendezvous event in Laguna Niguel at St. Timothy Catholic Church. And we will have representatives from Meals on Wheels, hopefully from the Office on Aging too, Council on Aging, the various large not-for-profits that assist seniors. And then we'll have a presentation on senior care, the differences between home care, home health care, hospice. How do you get it? How do you qualify for it? And who pays for it? And so it should be a nice event, and you're all invited.
I love the name.
I'm
magical.
Thank you. do I send that so that you can send it to everybody? What's the best way?
Only.
Very well. So, yes, everyone.
Patty, 2338 was written by Dr. Gene Dorgan of the California Senior Legislature. So if you were planning on an update or more, I'll invite him to the this meeting.
Maybe ask him to be the speaker. I've incorporated this to our advanced care planning programs, but I'm sure I can hear it straight from the source.
He worked very closely with the Assembly Member Gibson's
staff
to get that through. So I'll invite him.
But is he here in our time?
He's in LA.
Would you introduce
for us? We make that direct.
Would you introduce me to him?
Sure.
And I think that's all for now.
Very good, Patty. Thank you. Yes, John.
Two things. One, senior rally day. They said that over 600 people attended senior rally day. So that's very friendly. Excited by that. That's the largest number that's attended to date. And for all accounts, it sounds like it really was well received. So we're very happy about the outcome of that. And I'd like to thank both Claudia and Pauline for allowing me to attend the convention C4A convention. I got a lot out of that. I think it's certainly specialized to a degree, but thank you for sending me because I really learned quite a bit about what's going on in Ashland. And also, Steve Lincoln well represented during this.
You can tell that they're on the upswing. They're just so energized by what they're doing.
They had a presentation just about every hour.
Yeah, they did.
It seemed like. Yeah. So it was very impressive. So thank you again to both of you.
Thank you. Well,
I would like to also thank you for allowing me to go. I attended the data session and so learned about CARS and CHAR. lots of information. Lots of information about what you all contend with quarterly and day to day that hopefully we can learn more about as well as we go forward. And then Calling and all the opportunities for aging in place, the CDA and the digital divide. So I know that we have a lot of presentations coming up on digital. The state now has updated their website. They said they shared a clip during the session on their digital outreach. So we can connect with China.
And this is all from the training you went through Monday.
Yes.
Yeah, there is a digital session, just so you guys know, on Monday at the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee.
Yes.
There's going to be a presentation by our office on digital divide, what all the programs are.
Yes.
So if any of you are free, 9:30, this one will be at all of them. Not the hall of administration, at our offices. Yeah. At 9:30 on Monday.
So it's an exciting time in aging services, I think. Lots of momentum right now, even though our state budget is doing well, there's still a lot of people that are very energized. And I can pull it in the room today, too, which is fun.
That's excellent. I need to be excited as I can.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not.
But you're not able to be
super.
One more thing, just for point of clarification, there seems to be a little bit of confusion as to agendas that go out to various people. So the agendas that go out for the various subcommittees go to the subcommittee members only. They do not go to everybody. So if you are interested, I will send you a copy of the schedule for when those meetings take place. Go on to our website because all the agendas are posted about 3 to 4 days, maybe actually more than 3 days. Required by Brown Act, closer to a week to try to get them ahead of the meeting. So we will send, I'll send a list of when those meetings are for the remainder of this year. So you guys can put in your calendar, check the website for the agendas.
So yeah, I think what got confused is when somebody responds to one of those and it goes to everybody.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I'm going, what did Jimmy say? So yeah, that's when I end up getting myself and going someplace where I wasn't supposed to be.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
If someone is on the engagement committee, you can just give me back over here to me. Because Charlotte only manages sending all the transportation on. You know, I don't want to go to the website. I just like to make it easy.
Okay. All right, David, you got something.
Yeah, I have two things. One thing you've come up in our city, and I'm not sure is a problem, that's e-bikes. And I guess I don't put on a agenda, I just make a survey or somebody giving feedback. I like to know the seniors of everybody a different connection here. Is it a problem? Is it not a problem? Always the greatest thing to know.
All of the above.
that kind of thing, because we're struggling and grappling with actually keeping bike off the sidewalk. I'm a favorite. I mean, we spend days and dollars on bike lanes. Because that means for bike and bike. A lot of different things, but I'd like to hear the seniors, like I said, in different places in Michigan County.
We're going to see if we're doing it on website. We have a whole
website. I read
this for e-bikes.
Yeah, seniors is a different category. I read on around every school in our city and a little bit of the surrounding city to see what how prevalent they are.
You mean as riding them or avoiding them?
Yeah. It turns out in grade school, they don't ride them. The high school, they want cars, so they ought to be the junior high. The big area, some of them are, you know,
Seal Beach just passed a law about it, so it sounds like one thing with e-bikes, but it's actually motorized vehicle on a sidewalk, which Leisure World's probably going to have a big say, so somewhere along the line, not be happy, but they ride up the scooter here, main and anything that moves, they're riding there.
Yeah, that's that one side that's all, and it doesn't, because you're right. Yeah, I had a lot of that. I used to motorbikes on the side. See, that's inappropriate. That shouldn't happen.
But when they passed the law in Seal Beach recently, they made a point of saying motorized vehicles on the sidewalk. So it includes those things as well.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's a petty problem. Our council kicked it down the road, and we care for it. I don't want to vote again. I want to deal with it now. But it's going to come back sooner than later. Sometimes it's going to be a big bad act of putting the game in really badly and then suing everybody. And they're going, anyway,
it's a big problem.
Second item. No. I'm not sure whether the group's deal with communicating. And I'm not talking about any case like you know about with senior centers or with the NFL, but communicating with the actual seniors of the county. We do that at BMS failing or.
I think it might be costly, one, and two, for that population maybe change so much that you can be sent to the wrong place.
I have to keep up on my own change.
Okay, so let's
now, yeah, I think we've got it. I can get addresses for all of the years.
Well, all the years in the county, yeah. The county?
Yeah. There's a caveat on that. But yeah, I keep an accent.
Okay, what Dave is mentioning, guys, is do we have any way that we can email or send some type of correspondence communication with all seniors in the county? I'm going to look at shock and disbelief.
Well, the only information that we have at our county would be people who have signed us for our programs. And that's.
Well, Dave seems like he has access to all seniors.
All seniors that are written for the
all registered soldiers.
Yeah, we are over here.
Okay. But what I can imagine there'd be a host of obstacles if we'd have to come and get that out. So. Let's put that in the parking lot and back, Dave, and we'll visit that. Yeah, I think we'll bring it up on our executive meeting. Kind of
okay,
we'll do the agenda meeting. You attend our executive meeting? Okay, we will make sure that. All right, yes, Elizabeth Elaine.
Well, Elaine brought up the fentanyl thing. Two nights ago, Wednesday evening, Commission Diego had a town hall meeting. Mr. Diego, five council members were there, and there weren't that many seniors, so it was well publicized. And the night before city council meeting, it was publicized there. And but anyway, I thought it was interesting that there weren't that many seniors there at the fentanyl thing. It was all about fentanyl, and it was very good.
You know, it's funny that you sit here and you say that, but as a senior, anything after 6 o'clock at night, man, I'd rather be a moment around.
Hey, you are here.
I do not want to get up.
But I thought, no, Leslie cried so hard to make this up.
Yeah.
For her sake, I thought, I need to be there. And she thanked me for being there. But it's so true. As a senior, I really didn't like going out. Yeah.
Well, and to add on that, so one of the reasons I think why there weren't more seniors there is it was really touted as a dress commit for the crisis team. But and then I did speak with the sergeant who is the education the individual that's in charge of educating going out programs or not, and to reaffirm and confirm with him about some of the stuff that you and I have spoken about, And he gave me a name of somebody that was more specific to the sheriff's department and the older individuals. But that's why they're important.
Crystal, can you send me that
too? Because he went through a real quick 10-minute training on Narcan.
And
how did you lose it? And everybody went home with one.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They made available for community organizations to take it back and utilize it.
Yeah,
it should be oxygen.
Yeah. So if we absolutely, and not so much because we've seen it with us, you know. And when I brought mine home to my family, because we were playing with my son, my youngest son, and he came and walked by and goes, oh, my mom, I'm going to come in. And I was like, how do you know about that? And then he said, I'm really glad you had it. And I said, why? He goes, well, because they get freaked out because there are none of their friends, unfortunately, got away, but they hear stories of how, you know, you're my friend and I have contact with it. I'm knowing you can do this. You just did it, passed out, and I'm trying to help you. And I did it. So they went looking at it. And I think that's going to be going to appeal to the seniors too. It's like, if you're a senior and you live with your son or daughter or grandchildren or whatever, you know, this is something that you should have in your home as well, just because in case of that accidental contact that you have with it. So it's, you know.
How about the time of meeting too, though? Seniors, wouldn't they be more during the day?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's why we're working with them when we do our workshops. On the time that's currently for seniors.
Yeah. Okay, do you have anything else for the good of
the world? Information on that. I have a quarter senior rally thing.
A
different type of program, but I just want to let you know the opportunity as later this month we prepare for Memorial Day. On May 25th in Laguna Niguel, I put together a program called Cost of Silence, Price of Freedom, and have some phenomenal speakers. We're going to start with what led to World War II and the Holocaust, translated to what is the hate speech that is taking place today, and what do we do, how do we identify it, what do we do when we see it. So the speakers will be, one of them is the daughter of an Auschwitz survivor. Another speaker is, he is on the National Counterterrorism Executive Committee. He has said counterterrorism for over 25 years. And then the CEO of the Orange County Human Relations Council. So I have invitations here. If you'd like one, let me know. But this is something that I think there's a broad interest in. I want to make sure you know about it. To get these three speakers together in one room, one night, is pretty good. I want to make sure you have that opportunity.
Well, there was a shout out to for Norris to be here, Melinda, the Nixon Library, the 24th of the great having a new, and it's unbelievable. I want to say at least 3 months now, a special on prisoners of war, and they have a section of the library where you walk through, and boy, I tell you what, those of our area, you're going to see things, and in fact, this is a preparation for, you know, they do that annual POWs coming, we honor them, and they're a little concerned that they'll actually get flashbacks. They go through, they have an actual recreation of the Hanoi Hilton as you walk down this little narrow way. Cells on both sides, you can look inside and see what the prisoners put up with and live with. It is a phenomenal, I had a preview, a phenomenal display. So, yes, sir.
All right. Carmen Maria, who represents Santa Ana, came to our apartment building, met with about 50 of us in a group to talk about Medicare and Social Security. And from his standpoint, they did pass some bill that would cut back the administrative cost to administer the program and some would slow the delivery of the benefit, but there's no direct impact on the benefit. He thinks even with that, it's not going to go anywhere. But his view, he looks pretty good. Whatever was proposed that he passed the House shouldn't have any effect, because that will probably kill it. But the only thing they did try to do is put some type of group Social Security along with other cuts, administrative cuts, and basically reduce the people that service teacher systems and hope to somehow slow down payments. Got a kind of general thinking, but it's not going anywhere. But he also left this behind. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I thought this was pretty split.
It's basically a book, for book, and the NEF.gov. If you leave the blind, you can pick it up, put it in your pocket, whatever. But I have a few of them, but I don't know if you guys ever seen this before.
I can't see it.
Well, I'm sorry, it's my bad. It says identitydeath.gov. I'm not sure where you
might just pass it around.
Yeah, you can take them. But I don't know, it seems like that would be the, I don't know how, you know, maybe we work for a congressional office to get these. I think that's how he got his. But I think, you know, what I like, this was pretty good too. So it's not for fraud. But I really like it. I'm like, hey, if you want to pick it up and read it, I don't know if you can keep it around. I went to that thing, what do you like in the early years?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Victor.
Yeah, sure.
Anything else? Yes, Barbara.
In Newport Beach, Senior Center, this past month, Sergeant from the Newport Beach Police Department conducted an active shooter drill for all of us who are on the board and the Friends of Owing System. And it was scary, but very appropriate for us to hear about and to see. We're in this room and where do you go? Did you go toward the sound or would you go away from the sound? And the way he conducted it, they do it throughout the city, you know, people in the city, but it was very eye-opening that wherever you go, you should be aware of your surroundings and perhaps look for a way to get away from any kind of shooting or any kind of noise that is scary.
Actually, in a nutshell, that's exactly. All you need to remember is if you hear an after shooter, run
away.
So, yes, not toward him, run away. So what Barbara mentioned, very true. You kind of have to know where our exits are. Somewhere to come here shooting, run.
That's how you can come to that great one. I was one of they had in Michigan where they had a full fledged, I mean, it was 7 all kinds of very, very good. But we just comment there's been so many attacks around the country. What we did at our church, I sort of instituted, like you said, where your strengths are, how many exits are there, and sometimes how do you go about that? And yeah, you have to do that when the service can start and everybody gives me data, sort of, you know, focused on, unfortunately. All the doors are locked, so you cannot get from the outside. And if somebody is there, you know, if somebody there, if it's late, you know, and they're all locked from the outside, so you cannot get in. So they're going to change to do something. It was slow with them to give the chance to react. And I think it's not a bad idea.
No, I think most churches now are doing exactly, I know ours is, because there's money available. From the feds to do exactly that, to harden the target. And a lot of archers put up cameras, chairs, all kinds of things. But as you know, church is a place to worship part of targets. And so we have, I'm sad, unfortunately, we have to be, it's not cheap. Okay, yes, Jones.
At that point, I'm astonished that I was the only person who tracked her when she walked in with that backpack. I couldn't believe the rest of you continued to talk. And I didn't know who that person was, and they had a big backpack. I think I'm officially paranoid now.
Yeah, you're paranoid. Right? Go ahead, Paulina.
I went over and spoke to this lady, so I was very.
I saw you do that. That's why I didn't get worried.
And I was like, okay, who's going to vet this person? It's a public meeting, so anyone can come in. But yeah,
I'm glad you're friendly.
But there was, well, the one with the hat and the backpack, that would, I saw the same thing. Yeah. So just be aware of your current will send out bells.
Yeah.
This day and age, sad but true.
Required training for the humanity, 2 hours at a time.
Everybody does. Everybody. Okay. Well, with that, we are going to be adjourned in our next meeting. Now, we are dark in June.
Yeah.
We repeat that. We are dark in June, Elizabeth, right? Dark in June. So we have no meeting in June. So our next meeting will be in July 14th, 9:30. we will be here. And then the standing committee you have here scheduled, but it's May 15th, the senior citizen engagement, May 17th, well being reimagined, May 26th, executive committee meeting. So please do better than I do and pay attention when those are. The only thing here is the general. Often named a very nice meeting for my life points, though. Yes, I'm sorry, we are adjourned. If you want to, please carry on.